Daf is Daf Kuf Mem Dalet. So we got to the last around 10 lines of Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We stopped a little early. Today's a shorter Daf. So Gemara was talking yesterday about squeezing fruits and grapes and olives in one category, and tusim v'rimonim and berries and pomegranates, and then a third category of shar peros. So we had this discussion about if you were to squeeze tusim v'rimonim. So this was the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. We had said Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim both agree by Navim and Zaysim that everyone agrees it would be Aser, regardless of why you gather them. If it came to Shar Peros, we said that everybody would agree if you gather them for Ochlim, for food, so everyone would agree you would be able to benefit from any of the liquid that came out. We said the Machlokas was really between Tusim v'Rimonim, this middle category of pomegranates and berries, that it was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, depended why you brought it in. If it was for food, you could benefit from the liquid, but Chachamim felt, no, stam case, it would be aser. So the Gemara now says, again, 10 lines up or so, v'savar, Rabbi Yehuda, stam aser. So this is going to be a bit of a complicated raya now. It's going to take us a little bit outside and hopefully bring us back together. But we said before, the person brings in tusim v'rimonim, stam, without having in mind at all. If he brought tusim v'rimonim for ochel, so then Rabbi Yehuda says, any liquid that comes out, you could benefit. If you gather the tusim v'rimonim, you bought them stam, without having anything in mind, then Rabbi Yehuda would say it's usher to benefit from the mashkin. So we're going to now focus on the stam case of collecting tusim v'rimonim, but again, it's going to be a long roundabout raya. So is it true? The Savar Rabbi Yehuda stam usher, that stam tusim v'rimonim are really usher. V'hatzan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us? Nothing to do with what we're doing right now. Chalav ha'isha mitame l'ratzon v'shil l'ratzon. So there's a din, we've discussed this many times in the past, that in order for food to become tame, it has to first come into contact with one of the seven liquids. The Shiva Mashkim, which is, we said, honey, water, dew, blood, and wine, and so on. There's seven of them, oil. So one of them is milk. Milk is chalav, that if an apple comes into contact with the milk, and then subsequent to that, sheretz, let's say, nevela, touches the apple, the apple's tame. So now, it's only true if when the liquid touches the apple, that the person wanted it to be beratzen. You had to be aware of it. You had to have liked it, wanted the apple to touch the chalav. So the Mishnah says, Hatnan, chalav ha'isha, so milk from an isha is also machshir. It prepares the food to become tameh. So it's machshir. Chalav ha'isha mitameh. Mitameh really means machshir. It sets it up to become tameh. L'ratzon v'shilo l'ratzon. Whether or not that milk touched the milk willingly, or rather the milk touched the apple willingly or not willingly, ratzon shlo ratzon, it's machshir the apple. However, behema, ain't a matame ela l'ratzon. When a chal behema, cow milk, for example, touches a food, it only is matame if it's done b'ratzon, if a person was machshiv, that milk is liquid to be machshir the food. So you look at Rashi, just to be clear on this, Rashi says, last Rashi on the page, chalav ha-behema, ain't matame ela imkenu yotza l'ratzon. Vilo, if the milk of the behema came out not b'ratzon, just kind of dripped out, lo chashim mashu, that's not considered a liquid. Vimnaga bo sheret, if a sheret were to go ahead and touch the apple, lo ain't makabel tuma, so it's not makabel tuma. So again, chalav isha that comes out and touches the apple, it's machshir bein b'ratzon bein shlo ratzon, and chalav behema is only matame b'ratzon. So that's the Mishnah. Let's just go through this mission. It's very complex. Just stay focused right now. So Amar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Kal v'chomer hu. It's a kal v'chomer. Ma isha chalav isha she'ena meyuchad ela l'ktanim. If the only people who drink chalav isha is a child, it's ena meyuchad ela l'ktanim. Very limited who's going to be drinking it. It's metame l'ratzon v'shelo l'ratzon, and yet has the ability to be metame or machshir, whether it came out b'ratzon shelo b'ratzon. Chal behema shemiyuchad bein lektanim bein lekdolim. Everybody, all ages, drink milk from a cow. So then, eino din shetame yitame bein leratzon bein shlo ratzon. So it's more people drink it and more people want that milk in general. So shouldn't you say if an isha chal isha is matame even shlo ratzon, certainly chal behema should be matame shlo ratzon. So Amr lo. So they respond back to Rabbi Akiva that im matame chalav haisha shlo leratzon. Granted that a milk of a woman is metame shlabaratzom, that's unique because shadam migafto tame. So the dam of her is metame. Now we're talking about not dam nid, we're talking about dam of a makav, of a wound. So we'll look at Rashi to explain that. Let me just finish the statement, then we'll read everything back in. So the chalav isha is shalalaratzom, that we understand why chalav isha is shalalaratzom. because dam migafto tame, the dam comes from her guf, from a gafto, from her body, is metame. So then would you say yitma chalav habehema shelo the ratzon? Shadam migafto tahor, the dam of a cut of a cow is not metame. So let's just look at the Rashi in the top of Kuf Mem Dalet to explain what this connection of the blood to the milk is. And this will answer Ezra's question, what the difference between Ish and a Behemah is. So he says, Shadam Migafto, the dam comes from the guf of the woman, Shel Isha. Im Nogaf Raglo Yadav, she cuts her hand, she cuts her leg, she gets a little cut. V'chol Chabur Sheyatzim Imenu Dam, any cut that blood comes out from, it's going to be Tameh. Kedamar Beperek Dam Nida, Dam Chalalim, the dam of a dead body, the chalal, is metame hainu. That means dam harug. If a person gets killed, the blood from that body, the dam mace, is metame. That's kari mashke, that's called a mashke. Shenemar v'dam chalalim yishta. So it's certainly true, dam of a dead body is certainly a mashke. So now by extension, dam migafto mifarish hasam explains there, dam comes from a cut, the wound. Dam chalalim havi, it's also called dam chalalim. Ah, the person's still alive. Still, malikala kula, malikala pagal. What is the difference if you kill the entire person or you kill the little part? You drew a little blood from him or her. So we see that dam, regardless of whether the person dies or just gets a cut, that dam is called dam chalalim, and dam chalalim is called the mashke. So that's unique only by a woman, by a person. And Rashi takes one more step now further. The chalav kedam migafto, the milk is like blood that left from the wound. Why? Because there's a Gemara Bechoros that says the dam nekar, dam becomes, it turns and transforms the nasa chalav. We know a woman, when does she have, when does she nurse? So when she gives birth, so the dam, she doesn't see a dam typically when she nurses. The dam nida transforms into chalav, into milk. Because when she's nursing, typically there's no dam nida either. So the dam, we have this connection. I don't know how it works biologically, but the dam transforms into chalav. So we have this strong connection. So if dam of a woman is metame, whether or not it's she's dead or she just gets a cut, so too, the chalav is going to be metame, whether or not it comes b'ratzon, shel b'ratzon. Just the last line of Rashi, the dam migafto, stama, shel b'ratzon hu, v'tame. The dam that comes out when a person gets a wound, they don't want it to come out. It's not. She didn't ask for it. It's shalal ratzon. It's stam. She didn't have any das of it coming out. And yet the dam from that cut is going to be metame. So too, by extension, the chalav of an isha is metame as well, because it comes from the dam of a woman. Okay. So now the Gemara says, as opposed to chalav of a behema, look at the next Rashi. Yitma chalav habehema shalal ratzon betmiya. Are you going to say, now we understand why chalav of an isha shel ratzon metame? But you can't extend that to a chalav of behema shel ratzon, as Rashi says. Sherei dam migafto tahor, that the dam of a wound of an animal is tahor. The behema lav bichlal chalalu. Behema is not called a chalal. It's not called a dead corpse when an animal dies. So what dam of an animal is metame? Not the dam of a dead animal. Dam shchita, only if it's a kasher shchita. It's machshir mishum de iskish lemaim dechsev al haaretz tishbechenu kamaim. When we talk about shechita in the Torah, the blood's compared to pouring out like water. But that's only if there's a kasha shechita. If there's not a kasha shechita, or no, the animal's alive, it's just a cut, that dam is not matame. So if the dam of a wound of an animal is not tame, so the chalav of an animal shouldn't be tame either if it's all shelo v'ratzo. Okay, so a little bit complicated. So now, after establishing that, so we see that there's a chilik between the chalav isha and the chalav behema. So the Gemara now says, Amar lahem, Rabbi Kiva says back to them, Machmir ani b'chalav mibadam. I'm more machmir by milk than by blood. Rabbi Kiva does not like this equation from milk to blood. He thinks milk stands alone. What's the chilik? He says, Sha'cholev l'refua tameh, but a makiz l'refua tahor. We have another model that when it comes to refua, milk is tameh, but blood is not tameh. Blood is actually tahor. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Machmer ani b'chalav l'tamo af shelo l'ratzon mibedam." Rabbi Kiva says, "I think, although I agree to you that by dam shelo b'ratzon is going to be tahor, I believe that chalav shelo b'ratzon will be tame. Why? Shechole Rashi says, one who milks l'refuas behema shelo yazikenu chalva, that if the udder's full of milk, it could get damaged if it remains there. So you have to milk the animal not to get a damage. That's refua. It's tameh. The halal ratzon, you want that chalav. So a chalav that comes out only because of refua, that's still considered ratzon. That chalav is mashke. However, hamak is dam lebehemto. If a person draws blood lerufua, that blood is actually tor because the dam megaftehi. That's dam of a wound. That's not dam of a shchita. Only dam shchita of a behemah is tame, but dam of a wound of makis dam is tor. So you see, just like we're machmir by refua of chalav over refua of dam, so too we should be machmir of a chalav shel ratzon, even though dam shel ratzon is tor. So just finishes Rashi. He says, "V'hol v'chol of l'refua tame af hanotif shel ratzon tame." So just like we have a precedence that milk is more machmir by dam as far as it goes to refua, so to any milk that drips out shel ratzon from a behema should also be tame. That's Rabbi Kiva's position. So now after this back and forth about chol of behema shel ratzon ratzon, that's a machlokas. Now the response back, and this is the raya for why we needed this mishnah, this discussion. Three lines down on Kuf Mem Dal. Now Amrulo, they say Sali Zesim Vavanim Yochichu. Will bring a raya from baskets full of olives and grapes. That'll prove Shemashkim Hayotzim Mehen Leratzon is Temeim, but Shelo Leratzon Tehorim. So here we say that if you have a basket of olives and grapes, if it comes out, that comes out Beratzon. We'll see what Ratzon and Shelo Ratzon mean in just a moment. But if it comes out beratzon, the mashkim is mashkin. If it comes out shelo beratzon, the liquid is not metame. So what's beratzon shelo beratzon, says the Gemara? So my lav leratzon denichle. When it says leratzon, you want the liquid, you want the olive oil, you want the wine. And what does it mean shelo leratzon? It means bestama. You didn't have any das. It's just stam. You collected them. As opposed to, so now right now, shelo leratzon doesn't mean you dafka don't want it. Shelo ratzon means you didn't make a decision. It's stam. That's what shelo ratzon means. And now in this discussion, we see that a stam case, shelo ratzon means stam. A stam case of grapes and olives, we say in the Mishnah, it's tahor, right? Anavim and zesim, we're saying now shelo ratzon, which means stam. The Mishnah now says it's tahor. So if anavim and grapes are tahor, certainly a case of tusim v'rimonim, a stam case, should also not be mashkim, should also be tahor. And that was the kasha on Rabbi Huda. Again, we started off saying that Rabbi Huda said a stam case of rimonim, tusim rimonim, are usher and Shabbos. That's called mashke. We're connecting the lachas of mashke of Shabbos to machshirim. But if we say stam anavim and zesim, stam zesim vavanim are going to be again tower. So to tusim rimonim should also be stam case tower and not be usher and Shabbos. That's the long-winded question. So Gemara says back, no, not true. They say, my lav, what does it mean, where mazesim vanavim, finishing the case now. Again, my lav, l'ratzon denichle, shelo l'ratzon is bestama, and mazesim vavanim, de b'nei schitininu, that zesim vavanim, for most people, anavim, are b'nei schita, they're subject to squeezing, and yet, if it's just shelo l'ratzon, if it's a case of stam, they didn't have any das, why they collected them, lo klum, the liquid is really meaningless, and not mach shetumah, and therefore in Shabbos mutter as well. Would you then say tusim v'rimonim to la b'nei schitininu? These types of fruits, which not everybody squeezes, it's a yesh v'yesh, it's 50-50. Lo koshkin, certainly the tusim v'rimonim in the stam case, the mashkim shouldn't be mashkin, and on Shabbos it should be mutter against Rabbi Huda. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says no, lo, you misinterpreted the terms raton and shel raton. Le raton, that means bestama. I mean, if you had the basket of grapes and olives, l'ratzon means stam. You didn't have anything in mind, you just had them collected. That's where we say stam case, it's going to be tame. But when it says shelo l'ratzon is tower, that means shelo l'ratzon means degale adaite damer lo nichle, where you said, I dafka don't want the wine, I dafka don't want the olive oil, I want the olives, I want the actual grapes. Shelo l'ratzon means you don't want it, so that case, if it's dafka shelo l'ratzon, that's where we say it's tahor. But if it's stam, so then certainly we'd say stam zeisim vavanim is aser, and also stam rimonim etusim could also be aser as well, and not akasha according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or, the Gemara answers Ebais Ema, alternatively we could suggest shiny sali zeisim vavanim. Maybe the case we brought of baskets, why say baskets of olives and grapes? Why not a pot of baskets of grapes and olives? Baskets have holes in them, which means anything that comes out is going to be lost. You're going to lose it. So that clearly shows they were not interested in trying to hold on and preserve the olive oil or the wine. So since there are holes in the basket, kevan dili ibud kaimi, since the liquid is going to fall out and go to waste, mekara afkuri mafkelu, so from the beginning, so that liquid was certainly lost. and therefore not considerable. But if you were to have other kelim, if you look at the last Rashi in the page here, look at the last two Rashis actually. This case, dafka nakat salim. They only chose the example of baskets. Shemashke hanotiv mehem. Any liquid that drips out from the olives or grapes, no fil aretz falls to the ground v'holich leibud and is lost. Hilkach stama lo nichle. Stam case, I'm not interested in afkur mafkir lahu mashir. I'm mafkir. I don't care for the liquid by the virtue of the fact I'm using the holes in my basket. Aval shar kelim afilu tusim rimonim. If I have other kelim that are keeping the liquid, then that would be the stam would be mashka and would be aser. So this is not a kasha against Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a long-winded, complicated discussion. Okay, let's get back to our more direct topic of squeezing fruits on Shabbos. Gemara now says last three lines of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So we had said before that there are really three categories of fruits. There's a category of Zeis and Vavanim, where Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Chachamim, that's usher to benefit from any of the liquid that oozes out. And then we had the case of the Shar Peros, other fruits, where Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, if you were machnis them for food, then you could benefit from any liquid that comes out. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda demode the Rabbanim, we found already, that Rabbi Yehuda does agree to Rabbanim, that we should be machmir by Zeis and Vavanim, that we saw that in yesterday's daf. That olives and grapes, everybody agrees that you're a machmir. However, we have a brisa in that case, but we don't have a brisa, Rabbanan, the mo delay, the Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros. The fact that Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Yehuda and other fruits, that if you were machlis it to ochel, that you can benefit from the liquid, minolan, what's the source? What's the basis that we know the Chacham agree? So the Gemara brings a brisa, the sanya, sochtin, you're allowed to squeeze different types of fruits, prunes and other types of fruit, you're allowed to squeeze these on Shabbos because no one squeezes them. These are fruits that no one ever squeezes, so if you want to squeeze them, you're allowed to because these are really foods. So you could squeeze fruits that are meant to be foods. So that's Brisa, you're allowed to do that. That's Shar Peros. We'll get to this last piece in just a few lines, but although you're allowed to squeeze other fruits, Shar Peros, that's allowed. Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda to stam brisa. They agreed by pomegranates, since in the place of Beis Menashe they squeeze pomegranates. You're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates anywhere in the world. So we'll get back to the last piece in just a second. But we see from the brisa that to stam brisa that everybody agrees you are allowed to squeeze shar peros. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Mimai de Rabbanan hi. Who says that this brisa goes according to Rabbanan? Dilma, this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda may be off of this brisa, and that's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. He's makil. He's makil by our Mishnah, so he's also the one who's makil by the brisa. Who says Chacham agree you'll have to squeeze a sharp pear on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, wait a second. Dilma Rabbi Yehudi, v'tevei nami Rabbi Yehuda. Let's say this brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we'll give it to you. Rabbi Yehuda wrote this brisa. But still, this brisa is even a chiddush for Rabbi Yehuda, because Eimer d'shmasle the Rabbi Yehuda yatsu me'atzman. Granted, we heard Rabbi Yehuda allowed you to benefit from fruits that the juices ooze out on its own, me'atzman. But would Rabbi Yehuda take a step further? L'chachila mishmasla? Did he say he could go ahead and actually squeeze a fruit? He just said, shar peros, sheyatsu mashkim, zavu mashkim. But you could drink it if it oozed out. But to go ahead and start squeezing a lemon, start squeezing an apple, would he ever allow you to go ahead and do that l'chachila? So the brisa doesn't seem to go well with Rabbi Yehuda nor with Chachamim. Ella, what must be the pshat in the brisa? Ella mai isluch l'meimar, kevin delavane schitenu. It must be that since sharperos, these prunes and other fruits, are not subject to squeezing. No one squeezes apples to make apple juice. They make apple juice in the factories, but no one at their home squeezes apples to make apple juice or whatever other fruit that no one else squeezes. So no one, these are not delavane schitenu. Afilu lechachila, even lechachila you're allowed to. Afilu te, so once you say that, whoever offered the brisa, that you're allowed to do lechachila squeeze it because these fruits are just not squeezable fruits. Afilu tamer rabbanan. You can even say rabbanan would hold this way. Came de la b'nei schita nenu. Afilu lechachila shmamina rabbanan shmamina. So meaning this is a jump even for Rabbi Yehuda. So once in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, you're able to make the jump. That same svara could apply to rabbanan. Meaning, why would anyone allow you to squeeze fruits? It's because these are la b'nei schita nenu objectively. So just like you would say that to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be allowed to say that same jump according to Chachamim. Since la b'nei schita, you're allowed to squeeze. I could squeeze tissues. There's nothing wrong with squeezing tissues. I could squeeze a tablecloth. So to squeezing fruits, there's no issue with squeezing. You can't even discuss squeezing when it comes to fruit that no one ever squeezes. And therefore,
you're not actually proving this brisa is Rabbanan. They're saying even if it's Rabbi Yehuda, you know that if Rabbi Yehuda holds this,
Exactly. It's a svara that makes sense. And squeezing anything in the world that's not subject to squeezing is allowed. So to squeezing fruit, which is, although it's fruit, it's a category of items that never get squeezed, and therefore everyone would agree that it's misvara, that it's allowed. So we don't know, as you said, as Pini said, we don't know that's necessarily the Rabbanim, but the svara would certainly extend itself to Rabbi Yehuda. So it's interesting, brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll discuss in a moment a little bit further, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, you're allowed to squeeze fruits that are not squeezed, on normally squeezed. So the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, you could squeeze lemons on Shabbos, because nobody drinks lemon juice. So they say, oh, but Bezman Azeh, however, you find lemon juice all the time. So, but according to the Shulchan Aruch straight, you could squeeze a lemon on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says from the Chai Adam, but in Bezman Azeh, you go to the stores, you find lemon juice. So he says, Sarach in Gada, whether you're allowed to squeeze lemons Bezman Azeh. But if you have another fruit, whatever fruit you want to pick, it's like cucumbers, a vegetable, cucumbers, no one squeezes cucumbers, there's no problem of squeezing cucumbers on Shabbos. It's completely permitted.
They're allowed to squeeze everything on top of food, right?
We'll get to that at the end of the daf, talks about that. Now, there is an opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel does actually say that even though the Gemara at this stage says that fruit which is la b'nei schita ninu, you could squeeze it, Rabbeinu Chananel does, he's a das yachid, that one should not squeeze even these types of fruits. And the Mishnah Berurah says, why don't you be machmir for Rabbeinu Chananel? Even though you're allowed to, we should be machmir for Rabbeinu Chananel and not squeeze any type of fruit, even those that la b'nei schita ninu. But we'll get to Ricky's point in just a second with respect to lemons. So Gemara now says, Vayter, so we said above that you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates because in the place of Beis Menashe, Bar Menachem, they would squeeze pomegranates. So the Gemara says, Shel Beis Menashe, Bar Menachem, hayusochtim b'yimonim. They would squeeze pomegranates in his house. It was one individual. So Amar Rav Nachman, halacha, kishel Beis Menashe, Bar Menachem. The halacha is like him. So Amar Lei Rava, Rava says, Rav Nachman, Menashe, Ben Menachem, Tanahu, was he a Tanah? I mean, not everyone who lived in the times of Tanayim were Tanayim. People were regular people, they had Rabbanim. So he wasn't a Tana, he wasn't a Rav, he wasn't a Posek, he was just a farmer or whatever, he had a house. So we passing like him? He wasn't a Posek, he didn't decide, that's what he did, but he wasn't making a halachic decision. So how do you say we passing like Menashe ben Menachem? So the Gemara says, V'chi tam, if you're going to tell me, halacha ki hai Tana, it's like the Tana who holds the Savarlei Kishel Menashe ben Menachem, it's a Tana who quoted him, that's what he meant, but not like Menashe ben Menachem himself, because he's not a Rav. Umishum de Savar, Kim Menashe ben Menachem, Halacha Kamosa. Just because one Tana holds like Menashe ben Menachem, that should, we should pass like that Tana, that one Tana? Menashe ben Menachem have a Ruba Dalma? Is he the Rove that he's going to dictate what's considered frozen? There are millions of fruit in the world, millions of pomegranates. And because there's one house in who knows where, in the Bavil, or in Eretz Yisrael, this guy squeezes pomegranates to make pomegranate juice, he's going to ask her for the rest of the world to make pomegranate juice on Shabbos? He's one guy of billions of people. So the Gemara says, that guy can dictate what the halacha is. Why? The Tana, the Mishnah tells us, with respect to another halacha, Hamakayim Kotim Bikerem, a person who maintains and preserves Kotim in the types of thorns in his field. So then it's going to be Rabbi Elazar Omer Kadesh, it's going to be Kadesh, that the fact that he's keeping it with a tvua, and it's going to be crossbred, a klaim with other fruits, other foods, it's going to be an issue of kiddush, or lashon of klaim, it says with the pasuk pentikdash. So that's klaim, even though normally people don't keep kotim around, no one eats kotim, no one uses kotim, but if a person is going to put a fence around and keep it, it will be subject to the lachas of klaim. And chacham omrim ein makadish, it's not, elo davar shekamo makaimim. No one else preserves kotim, everyone gets rid of the kotim. Because one guy keeps kotim, that's not going to make it substantial, that's not going to make it a food. And therefore, if a guy's makayim kotim, even though it's mixing together with the kerem, it's the grains, the thorns of the grains are mixing with the vines of the grapes, that's not called kiddush, because it's a strange thing. But l'dayta eitz called them. So this machlok is between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, my taima de Rabbi Eliezer. Why do you think if a person's makayim kotim with the kerem, it's going to be kalayim? It's makadish, all that fruit becomes asr. Shekein baravia in Arabia, makayimin kotim sadis legmalein. So because in this particular area, this country, they would actually keep the kotim because it would be good food for the camels. So the Gemara says, so who cares? It's one area. Why one area define what the halacha should be for everybody else? So the Gemara says, mide area daravia asra. So it's fine. Either way, that's arrived from the Mishnah. We see that one area could define the halacha for everyone else. So just like Aravia was dictated the halacha for everyone else, Lagabe Klaim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so too, Beis Menashe, Bar Menachem, could also define the halacha of Rimonim to other areas as well. So Gemara says that's not even a good raya though, because that Mishnah of Aravia, the Gemara says, midi iria, are they comparable? The Aravia asra, it's a place, it's a whole country. Hacha, it baladaita itakalim. This is one person. It's not a country, it's not even a city, it's not even a village, it's just one individual. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, asrahu, that's a place. Aravia's a place. V'chashivas dirabim havechashivusa. So a whole city, a whole country, that could define a significant minority. But hacha, chad gavrahu, it's one person, l'chudehu, name of baladaita. That one person, he's such a meat, shein amatzai, he's batal, and that cannot define halacha for everybody else. So Gemara says, the reason why pomegranates are going to be usher is for the following. Squeezing pomegranates on Shabbos is a mashke, is for the following reason. Like Rav Chista. What's Rav Chista? Rav Chista is talking about mikvahs. Today's daf is like bringing rise from all over the place back to Hilchos Shabbos. We did mashkin, we spoke about klayim, now we're speaking about mikvahs. So the Gemara says, it says in the Damar Rav Chista, tardin shesachtin, tardin what, like rata beets, and the person squeezes the beets, v'nasim b'mikvah, and you place the beets into the mikvah, poslin es ha-mikvah b'shinoi mara. So if the mikvah now is no longer clear, it's no longer water, like it's a little reddish, pinkish, so now it's going to pasul the mikvah b'shinoi mara. So the Gemara says, v'ha lav b'nei shechitin enu, beets are not subject to squeezing. Ela ma'is l'chala meimer, what are you going to explain? Kevin dach shevinu havalei mashka, hachanami kevin dach shevinu havalei mashka. Since you decide to squeeze the beets and make it into a drink, your achshave, your personal machshava, can make it into a liquid and disqualify the mikvah. So too, this individual can make it into a mashke. You're right, there's a special halacha we see, meaning, you're right, when it comes to mashke, mashke does not go by rov olam. When it comes to kalayim, it has to go based on a significant percentage. When it comes to the world of mashkim, mashkim goes by achshvei, each person's individual understanding. So just like by a mikvah, my achshvei, my squeezing of beets, will now render this a mashke and disqualify the mikvah, so to lagabe hilchos Shabbos, my achshvei, my personal understanding, will actually dictate the lachas of mashke. Now it's a strange thing, we don't know why certain areas, the high statistics make a difference, and sometimes one person can make a difference, but all we do see a precedent in the mikvahs that achshvei, one person, can make it a mashke and disqualify the mikvah, so too by Hilchos Shabbos as well. Fine. So that's Rav Nachman's understanding. So now the Gemara says, okay, once we establish that, so we understand why mashke is disqualifying the base menashe by Menachem. One person could create a mashke. Comes on Rapapa, and Rapapa says, no, I disagree with you, the guy with the understanding of the mikvah. The whole reason how he's able to say the explanation of a base menashe is based on his understanding of the Mishnah, mikvahs, that only a mashke that could change the color of a mikvah has to be a mashke. Rapapa says, I don't think that's true. I don't think you need a mashke to disqualify a mikvah. In other words, Rapapa Amar, Mishum Dahava Davar Shein Osim Imenu Mikvah L'Chachila, because the beets are not something you use to make a mikvah. It's not water, it's not anything else. And therefore, if it's something that's not used to make a mikvah, Chal Davar Shein Osim Imenu Mikvah L'Chachila, Pulsa as a mikvah b'shinu mara. Meaning, you don't need a mashke to disqualify a mikvah. According to the Baba on the saying, Rav Chisda said, only a mashke is going to disqualify. If I put, tissues in the mikvah, that's not going to disqualify the mikvah. You need mashke. So mashke is the way you get started off. So it must be that even though no one squeezes beets, so you could achshave and make beets into a mashke. Rav Papa says, nothing to do with the mashke. If I put anything into the mikvah that's not supposed to be in the mikvah, if it's not water, if I put tissues in, tissues will disqualify, even though tissues aren't a mashke. So you don't need a mashke. Beets are something else that's not a mashke, and it disqualifies. So anything that's not considered a kosher, the mikvah, anything that's not water, will disqualify it if it changes the color of it. Nothing to do with beets being a mashke or not, and there is no raya from this Mishnah to the din of Beis Menashe Bar Menachem, defining of achshave of what is considered liquid, legabe Hilchos Shabbos. Just look at Rashi, for an interesting Rashi here. The last Rashi of the narrow lines, Rapapa Amar. Rapapa Amar, he says, Taima Ditardin, the reason why beets disqualify the mikvah, La Mishum Chashivuso Dachshivinuhu. Not because this guy thinks the mashke of a beet is a mashke. It's not a mashke. Uli Olam La Mashke Ninu. It's not really a mashke, and not a raya for the halachas of Shabbos at all. So how come the beets then, if it's not a mashke, how come it disqualifies a mikvah? Mishum dechol davar she'ein osim imenu mikvah. Anything you use, any item that's not meant for making a mikvah, that's used for mikvah, will disqualify it. What do you need for mikvah? She'ena mayim o shelag o barad. If it's not water, if it's not the barad, if it's not snow, it's posed as a mikvah. It disqualifies the mikvah b'shuna mara. So the point from this Rashi here, you see that shelag, snow, can be used for mikvah actually. So there's actually an interesting discussion. Can one go into the snow as a mikvah? Does it work? So they bring a ride from this Rashi. Yeah, you can. Rashi uses shelag, snow, as one of the items that's kosher for mikvah. So if you have an amount of snow that's 40 saw, the same volume as 40 saw, you could actually go into the mikvah.
Which really is much less.
Right. Because it melts, you're saying.
Yeah, well, right.
Whatever the volume is. But the Rashi elsewhere that says shelag does not work for a mikvah. So there's a steer in Rashi. So Halacha Lemaaseh, the Ramah says, once we machmir and not go into the snow as a mikvah, but this is an interesting Rashi for this particular halacha. Now, it comes up halacha maisa, one of the disqualifications of a mikvah is mayim shuvim. If I have rainwater, rainwater is only good if it lands in that place. So in order to build a mikvah, you have to have the roof open so the rain lands on the board near the pit. To now start transferring rainwater from elsewhere, that's called mayim shuvim, it's drawn water, that's pasul midirban, you can't use it. So it becomes a big shaila. How in the world do you make a mikvah in a place like Phoenix, Arizona? There's a Jewish community in Phoenix, Arizona, there's no rain there. So there's no rain, there's no springs, how do you get a mikvah there? So one of the eights is if you have snow on the top of a mountain in, I don't know, Colorado, let's say, not too far away, on the Rockies there, so you now transport snow elsewhere, that's not called mayim shuvim. I don't know exactly how they do this, but they could transport snow and then bring it to Arizona, have it melt, and that's a way of making mikvahs. That's not called drawn water somehow because it's a solid. Drawn water is only when it's water that's in the liquid state, but not when it's in the solid state. So that's an eitzah they use for mikvahs. But the actual snow itself, so Ramah says, you should really wait for the snow to melt to actually use it as a mikvah. Okay, the Gemara now says further. We are five wide lines down in the Mishnah. Tanan Hasa, the Mishnah tells us, Nafal asocha yayin or chometz, if wine or vinegar or mocha falls into the mikvah, v'shina mara, it changes the color, it discolors the mikvah, it's posel, it disqualifies the mikvah. So man tana de mochel mashke, who calls mochel mashke, what's mochel? Mochel is some type of watery substance from an olive. It's not actual olive oil, but it's a watery part of it. We'll see. It's either that which comes out before you squeeze the olive, or after you squeeze the olive oil, whatever water remains. But somehow watery, it's not the olive oil itself. So we'll see this machlokas in just a second. But either way, mochel is called a mashke, it's called a liquid, and therefore it can disqualify the mikvah. So Amar Abaye says, Rabbi, who's the one who holds man tana de mocha mashke hu? Who's the tana that holds a mochel that's considered a liquid? Amar Abaye says, it's Rabbi Yaakov. He, Desani Rabbi Yaakov Omer, mochel harehu kemashke. He says, mocha, this watery substance from olive oil, from olive, is called a mashke. Umatam amru mochel hayote betchila tahor. So if it's really a mashke, how can we say, when you first put the olives in the press, so some water from just the olives themselves pushing into each other, a little water comes out. Not olive oil, but a little bit of watery, this mochel comes out. How come that mochel is tahor? Isn't that considered a byproduct of olive oil? And shemen is certainly matame. How come this is tahor? Lefi sheinu rotzei b'kiyumo, you don't want it. Shelo b'ratzon, you weren't interested in it. But it is considered a mashke. Rabbi Shimon Omer, mochel ain't a mashke. I don't think mochel is a mashke. Umatam amru mochel ayotze me'ikol beisabad tame. How come you say the mochel that comes out after the ikol, after all the pressing, when everything's done, there's some water that drips out afterwards, some mochel that drips out after the fact. How come he agrees that that is tame? If he holds in general mochel is tahor, how come at the end, the mochel at the end is actually tame? Lefi she'iya shalo belo tichtuche shemen. Because at the end, it's impossible that the mocha at the end doesn't have any oil in it. There must be some oil in it as well. So for the shemen that's in the mochel, that's what's metame at the back end of the pressing process. But in the beginning, before you pressed it, any of the watery material that comes out in the beginning, that's actually tahor, according to Tanaka, according to Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, "My benai, what's the nafkamina?" Because apparently, in the end of the day, even though they're arguing fundamentally, halacha ma'aseh, they agree. In other words, in the beginning, when there's only water in the beginning, Rabbi Shimon holds that's not mashke. Mocha isn't mashke, it's tahor. And even Rabbi Yaakov agrees, in the beginning it's tahor, because shelo b'ratzon. Again, fundamentally, they argue whether mocha is mashke or not, but lamaisa, even Rabbi Yaakov, who holds mocha is a mashke, in the beginning process, that mocha is not metame because it's seino b'ratzon. And at the back end, so when the mocha comes out the other end, so then Rabbi Shimon says that's tameh because there's shemen there, and Rabbi Yaakov holds it's tameh because mocha itself is mashke. So, But both agree halacha l'maisa, just coming from different angles. So what's the actual nafka mina, halachic difference between these two opinions? And so the Gemara answers, "Am I benai? What's the nafka mina? Ika benai. The difference is da'asi basar itatse. Where it came after itatse. What's itatse? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here 6-7 lines up in the bottom. Da'asi basar itatse la'achar shischilu l'schamim. After the olives begin to warm up, I guess from the pressure of them being together and the initial pressing, the dachu zetzen, they're just lying in the weight of all the olives in the olive press. The nishtal mahakomer yamim, and they just stay there before you actually press it. You know, you leave it there for a few days, I guess, and just the pure weight and gravity begins to push on each other, so that at that point, some mochel will come out. So in that, apparently, will hold that it would be, so 1 second, that according to Rabbi Yaakov would be tame, because rotza bekuma, you do want it. But according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't want it yet, and it's lav mashka, and you haven't pressed it yet, it's not shemen yet, so he would think at that stage it would actually be still tahor. Okay. The Gemara then says, "Rava Amar Mishum David Davar Shein Osin Heimana Mikva Uposas a Mikva Bishunimara." So now Rava comes along back to the situation of Mochel. He says the one who holds Mochel is not is considered a Mashke. That's the one who holds since. Sorry, 1 second. Right, Rava comments on the one who says who authored the din that Mochel is disqualifying the Mikva. We said it has to be the one who holds Mochel as a Mashke. Rabbi says it has nothing to do with the mashke. You don't need a mashke to disqualify a mikvah. So he says it could be anyone. Whether or not you hold a mochel as a mashke or not a mashke, legabe the halachas of machshirin, that's another point. But legabe mikvos, anybody can hold this way because mishum dehave davar sheinosin hemina mikvah. And because since it's an item that cannot be used for mikvah, we have a klal, post that's a mikvah bishunimara, as long as it changes the color, it disqualifies it. Nothing to do with it being a mashke or not a mashke. Those are two different discussions of mashke, legabe machshirin, and hilchos mikvahs. Okay, let's finish off back to schit and Shabbos. Okay, we're jumping all over the place here. The Gemara finally finishes off in that last 7 lines of the page here, Amar Rav. Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shel Anavim L'Tocha Kedera. Person could squeeze a cluster of grapes into a Kedera. Rashi says this Kedera when there's food in the Kedera. I could squeeze grapes into food because if you look at Rashi, L'Tocha Kedera, 6 lines up, Shel Tavshil L'Takno. I could put it into meat or something to enhance the food, to flavor the food. D'muchach HaMilz, it's clear. The Lav L'Mashke Baile. I don't want the liquid. I don't want the juice. Ella L'Och, I want to eat it. Vein Tederach Prikasa. That's not the way of doing Schita, and therefore having Kemafrit Ocha Mi'Ocha is like taking food to food. That's not a problem. Soche, it's only when you take Mashke from Ochel, but food into food, that's entirely permitted. That would be allowed. Only if you allow it to collect, the liquid to collect, would it be a problem. So the Gemara says, in contrast, to put into a bowl where there's no food and to gather the liquid, that would actually be a problem of squeezing grapes on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Chista, this was Ricky's point before. So Amar Rav Chista, Medivrei Rabbeinu Nilma, we learn from Rabbeinu that Choliv Adam Eiz Latocha Kedera, you could milk a goat into a Kedera pot of food, because it's Ochel Latocha Ochel, Aval Lo Latocha Kar, but not into a bowl or a pitcher or a bucket where it's going to gather as liquid. Alma Kesavar Mashke, Aval Ochel Ochel. We see that liquid that comes from one food and goes into another food, that would not be a problem. So this is the eighth. If you want to have lemon juice squeeze onto your fish, so we said before that even though lemon juice, the Mechaber says you could squeeze lemons into a cup and drink it or use it whatever you want, but the Chayadim says since nowadays you could find lemon juice in the store, so it's something that they actually do squeeze, so it's aser to do on Shabbos. The eighth would be to squeeze lemon juice directly onto your fish. That would be the eighth that goes from Ochel to Ochel, and that would be allowed according to the Shulchan Aruch. So Gemara finishes off. Let's just finish this last question and answer. So Masiv Rami Bar Chama Zav Shecholiv Es Ha'Eis. So now we're bringing to another halacha of a zav who milks a goat. Hachalav Tamei, the chalav is a tamei, because a zav himself is metame any food he touches. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says Hachalav Tamei Shazav metame kol davar b'masa v'rei hesit hakiluch. Anything he moves is tamei. They don't distinguish whether or not he's squeezing into a food, he's squeezing into a cup of some sort. So the Gemara says, if he's a cholev, it's tamei. So the Gemara says, now, if you say, mashke bala ochlin, ochelhu, if liquid goes into food, is actually going to be considered food, but my is kasher, what makes it kasher? Because the din is that, 1 second here, Right, the din is that food, as we said before, food is only mitame if you actually come into the contact with liquid. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'amris ochelu, ha'ein ochel makabatuma shelo behechsher, pa'ibimai iskashir, because the milk that goes into the food becomes food itself. So there's no mashke to even speak of. So what was ever machshir the food? Right, if I'm holding, let's say, an apple. I have an apple here, and I, apple's not a good idea, but let's say bread. I've got bread. So bread now is, it's dry. If I squeeze goat milk into the bread, that liquid becomes bread also. It's a solid. It's food into food. So now, how by me touching the bread, it's not tame. If I'm a zav, it's not tame, because you first have to have liquid touch the bread. But if the liquid goes directly into the bread, there's no liquid to even speak of. So what's machshir the bread in the first place? So the Gemara says, b'may is kashir. And the Gemara answers, damar Reb Yochanan b'tipa hamuluchleches al piadad, hachanami b'tipa hamuluchleches al piadad. The milk that's sitting on the tip of the udder, so that's what's going to be metame. So here as well, he spoke at a different context. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, b'tipa hamuluchleches al piadad, tipa rishona milachleches ba piadad. The first jit that comes out, b'das v'nocha lichali, that you want to make sure it's milking well, that's having mashke kistam chalava to lo ocha barila. You don't need it for the food. You need just to make sure that it's there's milk there to even milk it, and that's what's machshir the food. And then when you start milking afterwards, then that goes into the food. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem. We'll continue tomorrow. Bit of a tricky daft today.